Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy has a really great way of getting the person over here to talk about the most important things. It's not easy to do, and you do it really, really well. There's something that you're doing that is getting me to go to the most important, deepest level right away, which is where I like to live. But most times I'm interviewed, I don't have any way to get there naturally, so I don't go there. So thank you for that.
Welcome, everybody, to We Mentor Mondays. I'm Nancy. If you're in transition with your business and how you're leading, they go together, please call me right away at 1-612-804-8920. You do not need to go through this transition on your own. Get some help. Assert self-leadership. I'll be right there with you on the journey. Today's sponsor is Sally Doyle. You can schedule a profit analysis with Sally and get a second opinion for only $149. Sally is the founder of Absolute Business Solutions and is known as a trustworthy bookkeeper and forward thinker who loves crunching the numbers for small business owners and entrepreneurs. You can sleep soundly knowing every dollar in your business is 100% accounted for. You're freed up to do the work you are good at and keep leading. Sally Doyle is a profit strategist, bookkeeper, and innovative thinker that likes to collaborate with you to make sure that you are feeling comfortable with the money you're generating. So you can reach her at 1-651-208-8151. All right, today in the studio, it's just me. This is the third episode in rolling out a new tool that I've been working on. It seems like it's a cumulative process since I started my business in 1992, but it's to assert self-leadership mastery. And I created it in 2019 and rolled through a series of workshops that I had rolled out and thought, gee, wouldn't that be great if we had an assessment tool so we could kind of see how we're addressing these eight different areas of our lives and get some validation on where we're at and also get some ideas on where to go from here. So Mike Cabea and I talked about having a series together. For the first two episodes, he would be on the mic, and the third, I would kind of pull everything together, at least for this part of our conversation about rolling out this self-leadership tool and also just giving you parts of it so you can still take it if you would like. I would like to invite you to, if you haven't already, and I'll share with you what some of the other people who have taken it have experienced. You can also see in the show notes by scrolling down to the mentoring resources, the first two episodes. It's on the wementor.com website. Both episodes, I re-listened to them. They were just wonderful and motivating. So Mike and I hadn't been on the mic since last year together, so it was really fun to get caught up on air. In the first episode, I went over the why behind developing this WeMentor self-leadership well-being spectrum. And Mike took the assessment. So we went over the results and he got some ideas of what he would like to focus on for kind of the rest of this year. He's been in a huge transition in his life and is still kind of integrating the experience over the last couple of years. And so it's affected two areas of his well-being pretty intensely. One is number four, the spiritual humanistic revolution or evolution. So he's gone through some transition in his faith and deepened the study spiritual work that he's been doing and changed some family traditions. And then in the second episode, we talked about number eight, which was his physical well-being and wealth creation. He has multiple income streams, and he's gone through kind of the transition with his business and adjusting some things to help build out those income streams and profit centers so they make more sense for him and support his family more effectively. So today, what I would like to reinforce is you're seeing the effort and the payoffs to examine your life in much more depth that has some benefits. You're able to connect more deeply with those that you care about and be more present in their lives. You're able to disrupt some of those patterns that are ingrained in our brain where, you know, we end up creating strong, they're like railroad tracks in our brain where we have kind of very reactionary ways in which we behave or respond to certain things that have been ingrained patterns over a long period of time. And the more in tune you become with how you can shift how your mind is taking in the information, you can shift these yourself out of these old patterns and try some new stuff. So that leads me to our focus today is to summarize kind of where I'm at with the self-awareness mentoring tool that I've been rolling out. I would like to share with you some of the consensus that I've been getting, my interpretations of it so far, and some of the feedback that I've gotten. And that'll help you to kind of you can decide how it's going to help you. But I think it's beneficial in knowing these eight areas of well-being so that you can assert them in your own life. And you can also invite other people into your life to look at those eight areas as well. So I'd like to go over those results and also give you an update on some of the things that I've been going through myself. And we may be taking a break a little bit in the future. I'm just not sure. I'll let you know about that in a minute. All right. So first, the eight areas of the We Mentor self-leadership well-being spectrum. The first one is you assess through five questions the connection to yourself and to others. The second is what your level of honesty and your grounded confidence is in your life. You know, what kind of emotional stamina do you have? And are you resilient to be responsive to what's going on in your life? The third aspect is, are you getting enough play or rest and recovery? Play can be just having fun with your family, playing games. It could be working out together. It could be reading together. It could be going to the movies. It could be, you know, visiting family and friends, other family, extended family members. You know, those types of activities create a happy life. The fourth aspect is taking a look at where are you at in your evolutional process, both spiritually and as a human being. You know, what is bringing you joy, peace, and more meaning into your life? The fifth aspect is autonomy and experimentation. Do you feel like you have the right to kind of address or self-govern yourself? Yeah. Do you have a sense of personal autonomy and experimentation? Because they're both connected to being happy and joyful in your life. The sixth aspect is meaning and stewardship. So what kinds of things are you doing in the community to connect with the community? We've been talking with about the COVID-19 virus that is going around the world and trying to keep track of, you know, what's happening with it and how to take care of ourselves and our people that we're leading. And one of the suggestions that Kathy Hochert made in our prior two conversations was to really connect with your community. So find ways to plug in with your community, which creates a stronger community and a more vibrant and resilient one. So meaning and stewardship doesn't always necessarily mean volunteering in the way that we've been trained to volunteer. It may be in a way that makes the most sense for you and your family right now. and it may look different. You know, maybe it's just taking some, you know, helping a stranger, you know, with their groceries or, you know, like little acts of kindness during the day. It could be a number of different things. Or calling more people if we're not seeing them as often, just checking in instead of just posting. People like to hear our human voices. Aspect number 7 is about love and belonging. So how are you in your community? What's your level of authenticity with yourself? Are you able to show yourself some self-compassion? Are you deeply known and loved by at least one person in your life? Those are some of the questions. And the 8th one is about your physical well-being and what and your wealth creation model. The model of how you support your family and your life is up to you to develop. And that supports your physical well-being. Are you able to, you know, move and express yourself physically? And so that's the overview of the 8 areas. In the first 2 episodes, Mike and I delved into the 2 that he's working on. And so today I'm just going to like continue our talking here about what the feedback is that I've been getting. So right now I'm feeling challenged. I've worked through a lot of deep inner sadness and disruption. My mom is in the final stage of her life. She has dementia, and it's a grueling disease that has plateaus before structural and chemistry changes happen in the brain, which present incremental crisis points as the person loses another ability to function and navigate in the world. So what I've experienced with my mom and our family is that my mom would have a crisis where she couldn't be able to, like it started with, you know, not remembering birthday dates or not remembering when people scheduled to come over. And then there was a crisis around her. She couldn't put together a meal. And so the crisis was she couldn't prepare the meals anymore. How is my dad going to get fed? And how is she going to feed herself? And that accompanied kind of a drop in weight. And then we stabilized for a while. Dad's been, you know, picking up cooking and making soups and, you know, and we've been contributing, my siblings and I. And so anyways, with each crisis, there's been kind of adjustment of care. And through that process, when we're in distress, we seem to retreat to our respective extremes, according to Daniel Siegel, instead of collaborating and learning from each other. And that has certainly happened in my family. So with dementia and other memory type losses, if the brain interferes, and I'm quoting this from, if you know of anybody that has dementia or memory loss, a really great book that I wish I would have read like 2 years ago was The 36-Hour Day, a family guide to caring for people who have Alzheimer's disease, other dementias, and memory loss by Nancy Mace and Peter Rabbins. So they say, in quote, if the brain interferes with the person's ability to perform any step in a task, the person will not be able to do the rest of the task, end quote. And I found that to be so true. What I liked about The 36-Hour Day was they started writing this book in 1981, and they've been making edits. And so the latest book came out in 2017. And so it's got really a lot of resources and valuable pieces that could help you with a loved one. And this has affected my overall well-being. And so that's why I'm kind of bringing it up. And to just give you a heads up on if there's some changes coming up, it's because I need to make some adjustments in order to keep my world a pretty happy place. All right. So I've had 15 people take the assessment tool. I've done it in small groups and also individually, and I've offered some interpretation. I haven't done as many because I needed to make some adjustments based on the feedback, and so I'm going to keep rolling it out, but I'm doing it at a manageable pace. So the consensus so far is that I've received is it's well organized and the group sessions have been well run. It's insightful and somewhat enlightening, meaning it's thought provoking because the questions introduced in particular this person's ideas that one doesn't really always think about in terms of well-being. It's been validating for people. Everyone felt better after taking it and receiving some feedback from me and left with a new perspective on their life and well-being and a mini plan going forward. So that's been kind of fun. This tool could be useful in a lot of places. Someone else, that's the consensus. Everyone could see it's especially useful in having people take it in transitions, like when you're starting your transition. And then after you get help, maybe 6 months later. I added the self-awareness mentoring journal because it's a journal that I developed a long time ago and that every presenter, I've talked about it a lot, fills it out before they go on air because things happen before you talk to people in a professional way. And so it helps people to ground deeply into themselves and get comfortable with where they're at and release any stress ahead of time. And I found that how you go into taking the assessment tool influences how you fill it out. And so adding the self-awareness mentoring journal, I've noticed that the outcomes, they've had a deeper, richer kind of interpretation of the results after we went through the assessment. My interpretation so far, everyone's in a totally different place in their lives. So the tool offers enough openness for each person to tailor the results in the way that makes the most sense for them. And there are different worries at different ages and during life transitions. So I've had a wide range of people take this from those. And I know it's just a small sampling of conversations, but I'm starting to get an idea that this could be, you know, a lot. As the population grows of the people that take this, I can see some similar results among those populations. So I've had people from their 30s up to in their 70s. And one person who took it that was in his 70s said he scored a 10 in all different areas and said it's taken a lifetime of focus in all those areas to feel like his overall well-being has been achieved. I thought that was very interesting. A few mentioned how different their well-being would have been during their last life transition, whether it be a divorce, being laid off for extended periods of time, a loss of someone close to them, financial upheaval, expanding the family to add more kids, shifting parenting roles as kids age, you know, expanding or selling your business. So it's a mix of personal and business things going on as a normally leader. It usually happens. We're addressing both at the same time. So as we tape this conversation today, my mom is in the final few hours or days or final week of her life. My mom's spirit has been a delight and her sense of humor really cherished. And if I'm really being honest, it's also been extremely hard. My dad has exerted some extreme cruelty that shocked me. And has brought up kind of a harshness in some of the ways in which I grew up. It also helped me to understand the family dynamics from a new perspective. So I grew up the eldest girl with 5 siblings. 2 brothers are the bookends in the family with all of us girls in the middle. My older brother passed away from lymphoma cancer when he was 37 years old, and his wife and 3 young kids, all under the age of 8, survived him. That's when I noticed our family dynamics actually became very, very more, you know, very pronounced. I have come to realize that when it comes to family of origin and life-changing events, our family handles them poorly. Frankly, no one would recommend dropping your wife off at a nursing home because you vilified your adult children and thought you could do it all yourself. Dementia has brought us all to our knees at different times. I'm not saying this out of judgment. I'm saying this out of reality and the facts of what has helped me sort out the truth. The pain and harm exerted to family members just doesn't go away as we age. It only intensifies with those operating old patterns of thinking and behaving. Extreme rigidity comes up, and so does chaos. There's no accident that I'm in the business of mentoring and asserting self-leadership mastery with emerging to experienced entrepreneurs and business owners and their leadership teams. I've experienced what happens when people don't examine their lives and take responsibilities for the decisions they make. There are much more productive ways of leading than blaming others for your inadequacies, shaming people into submission, and exerting harsh demands that make no sense. For me, this transition has triggered memories of other dynamics while I'm grieving my mother's impending death. I am asserting self-leadership by getting psychological help when I need it from a loving and caring therapist. It's great to have this kind of support. I can keep going with this way. I can keep my initiatives going. I'm not going to get into, you know, I'm not going to create more or expand the chaos that's already happening. I'm going to ground it, be with it, and release it. And I'm also going to not freeze into rigidity and become very rigid in how I'm thinking and approaching things. I'm trying to stay flexible and kind of fluid. So I'm able to keep going with my initiatives. They might look a little bit different. And I'm able to be attentive to clients. And I appreciate those who have been a little bit flexible as I've needed to be there for my mom. And I'm not going to succumb to some of the deadly sins like self-sacrifice, you know, giving up victim thinking. Self-sacrifice is you're sacrificing everything for, you know, someone else. And no, my schedule needs to keep going. I've got a young child at home or an 18-year-old, and she's graduating this year. Matthew and I need to be there for stuff. So what is a reasonable way in which I can be there for my mom, but I'm not going to sacrifice my entire life to be in her world right now when it's not emotionally or psychologically safe for me to be there. I'm not going to move into self-loathing where I, you know, ignite a poor me syndrome. I'm also not interested in self-deception. I'm not going to lie to myself or explain away the deep hurt that I'm experiencing. That's why I'm being vulnerable and open with you, because I encourage you to do the same. I'm not going to turn this into a self-serving opportunity where I totally disconnect from everyone and just serve myself and my agenda. You know, just that's not part of my who I am. And self-immolation, it's a temptation to sacrifice your soul for the sake of, in my family, religion or politics. It's a great way for people to hide from self-actualization by getting involved in movements that take up a ton of your time and you lose track of who you are and your own inner work. So in my family, I've got generations of highly religious people and also those who have been extremely involved in politics. And I am not going, you know, I'm involved in both, but in ways in which I can continue my own process of self-actualization and really keep doing the inner work, because we're really in charge of taking care of ourselves first. You'll hear it many times again, the oxygen mask needs to go on you first. And I want to be present with my husband and my daughter. And so we can shape that. I am in charge of that. So I'm letting you know this because I'm also role modeling as part of mentoring the behavior that is very, very effective and will help you keep growing and strengthening who you are and who you're becoming next. So that's where I'm at. That's where I'm at with the We Mentor Self-Leadership Well-Being Spectrum. And I hope you have gotten some insights about the tool and are curious enough to take the tool and the assessment so that I can help give you some feedback and you can keep asserting self-leadership in your life. Thanks, Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, Mon Frere, brother from another mother. And thank you, audience, my friends, extended friends, for tuning in this week. you want to build upon your leadership skills and become more effective as a business owner? Do you want to reinvent yourself or evolve as you redesign your business? This is a dual innovation process. Are you ready to take charge of who you next become? If the answer is yes, I've been developing and implementing mentoring programs to thousands of emerging to experienced entrepreneurial leaders and business owners and their teams since 1992. I totally love it and feel I'm on this planet to involve the leadership in the world from the inside out. Of course, this means seeing myself as a work in progress, which is beneficial to you because I'm not stagnant and I'm motivated to create and bring you incredible programming all the time. So here's a few ways that you can get involved in our WeMentor self-leadership community. You can subscribe for free through WeMentor.com to the podcast. You can also find it on Apple Podcasts, which used to be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, Blueberry Directory, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio, which is where you can shout out your request on smart home device through Alexa, Cortana, Amazon Echo, and Google Home. You can also become a sponsor of this program and support what's happening here in these all these meaningful conversations. Or you can get one-on-one mentoring and go at your own pace as you evolve into the leader that you've always wanted to become. You can join a WeMentor mini lab, which we offer several times during the year. We're focused on some element of self-leadership and your progress toward becoming more effective. And the last and final way in which you can get involved in WeMentor's self-leadership community is by joining a one-year entrepreneurial leadership and mentoring lab where we dig into the details and help you with the operational along with your leadership skills so you can evolve with your entity and really, really progress in building the life that you've always wanted to build. So please check out WeMentor.com. You can email me, Nancy at WeMentor.com, or call me 1-612-804-8920. All right, keep listening, and we'll see you next week.